Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Big news last week was Joe Biden in a national address announced that the federal government will be mandating COVID-19 vaccines. So let me just read the headlines. Sweeping new vaccine mandate for 100 million Americans. In the most forceful pandemic action and words, President Joe Biden on Thursday ordered sweeping new federal vaccine requirements for as many as 100 million Americans, private sector employees, as well as healthcare workers and federal contractors, in an all-out effort to curb the surging COVID-19 Delta variant. Speaking at the White House, Biden sharply criticized the tens of millions of Americans who are not yet vaccinated, despite months of availability and incentives. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us, he said, all but biting off his words. The unvaccinated minority can cause a lot of damage, and they are. Republican leaders, and some union chiefs also, said Biden was going too far in trying to muscle private companies and workers, a certain sign of legal challenges to come, unquote, AP Press. So there's much to talk about here, but let me begin with this question. In the days of the Apostle Paul, in the days of the early church, if the Roman Empire mandated vaccines for everyone, what would be the counsel of the Apostle Paul? Well, immediately we might think Paul would say what he always says, Romans chapter 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, or what Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether as to a king, as the one in authority, or what Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But wait a minute. There are cases when Christians are to practice civil disobedience when the state oversteps its bounds, such as Acts chapter 5, verse 29, where the apostles say, we must obey God rather than men. And in the book of the Revelation, the prophesied government of the Antichrist requires everyone to take the mark of the beast. But Christians will refuse that mandate with their lives because Revelation chapter 14, whoever receives the mark will drink of the wine of the wrath of God mixed in full strength. So Christians are not about to take every mandate from government. Now, I'm not saying that these vaccines are the mark of the beast, but we'll look at the application of that text in a little bit. First, I want to cover some of the issues involved in these vaccine mandates, the legal issues, the political issues, and then the health science issues. And of course, there's plenty of overlap. First, the legal issues. The President of the United States does not have the authority to mandate vaccines upon the American people. If you remember your high school civics, only Congress has the power to make laws, not the executive branch of government. Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and the House of the Representatives. Well, this means that the only branch of the federal government that can make new laws or change existing laws is the Congress. Now, the president may veto bills that Congress passes, but Congress may override his veto with a two-thirds vote. But what's been happening in recent years is that presidents have begun to legislate under executive orders, under emergency powers, and through executive departments, such as the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Defense, Education, Energy, where these agencies make rulings without a direct vote of Congress. And Congress allows it because legislators are motivated to not deal with unpopular laws, because unpopular laws threaten their reelection. They would rather have the executive branch do the dirty work so they can blame the president or these federal agencies. So in America, we're in a much different situation than in ancient Rome or in any other totalitarian dictatorship. The K and R day, or the president as it were, has to agree with the Constitution, which gives the power of law not to the king himself, but to the Constitution and to the Congress elected by the people. So who are we to obey when the king violates the Constitution? When Paul wrote, be subject to the governing authorities, which governing authorities take precedent? When the Magna Carta was signed by the King of England in 1215, the king put himself under the laws laid out in the Magna Carta. The Pope at this time annulled the Magna Carta because, in the Pope's mind, it undermined the doctrine of the divine right of kings, that the king could do whatever he wants because the king himself was the law. He could not be subject to any piece of paper. So do we as Christians hold to the Magna Carta principle or to the divine right of kings principle? If we hold to the divine right of kings principle, as laid out by Pope Innocent III, whatever Joe Biden says goes. If we hold to the Magna Carta principle of lex rex, the law is king, then we have a duty to practice civil disobedience toward a king who doesn't follow the law of the land, because the king is not the one who's the final authority. Now, all this may not sound relevant in this vaccine mandate. People rarely think of this particular aspect because they're more concerned with the health risk of taking the vaccine. But this issue is actually most important. If the president begins to violate the law, he's violating the Constitution, and where does that end? That's why so many patriots are opposing these vaccine mandates, regardless of the medical science. It's just the fact that the president is forcing the people to do something that violates the Constitution. If a president can legislate his own personal opinions, then what's to keep another president from saying everyone must stop eating meat because he believes in vegan? Or every couple should only have one child because the president believes in population control? The president doesn't have the right to force his opinion on the American people, even if he sincerely thinks he's doing good. Our founders wanted a body of legislators to do this so that Americans would not be subject to the whims of one man. It's 100 senators and 435 congressmen who are accountable to the people who are to make the law. Ted Cruz, the Texas senator, responded to Biden's mandate. Quote, Joe Biden's COVID mandate completely ignores the science and is an attack on America's right to privacy. The feds have no authority to force employers to make their employees get vaccinated. In these new mandates, Joe Biden's administration has chosen to put politics over science and the rights of Americans once again, unquote. And the president's own press secretary, Jen Psaki, said it's not the role of the federal government to mandate vaccines. She knew the Constitution, and she said that back in July, when that's what everyone wanted to hear. But now the political winds have changed, and she's changed her position, which is a lesson in itself. In his announcement of vaccine mandates, Joe Biden said this, quote, this is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. That statement is a falsehood if there were ever a falsehood. Of course, his mandate is all about the foundational American principle of freedom and personal choice. Biden was really saying freedom and personal choice are disposable when it comes to taking vaccines. But that's his personal opinion, not the law of the land, not the Constitution. And because Biden's mandate is such a gross violation of the U.S. Constitution, Republican governors plan to overturn Biden's mandate in the Supreme Court. There are 27 states with Republican governors and only 23 states with Democrat governors. If the courts do their job, the vaccine mandates are dead in the water. I believe Arizona is the first state to sue the federal government over this mandate. And Biden knows that these mandates are unconstitutional. He's having the federal agency, OSHA, make the ruling. And one commentator at MSNBC tweeted, OSHA doing this vax mandate as an emergency workplace safety rule is the ultimate workaround for the federal government to require vaccinations. In a New York Times piece, OSHA is tasked with overseeing workplace safety and has the authority to quickly issue a rule known as an emergency temporary standard. If it can show that workers are exposed to a grave danger and that the ruling is necessary to address that danger. Well, this gets back to what I said earlier about federal agencies creating law without the consent of Congress. And the courts have been saying that since Congress created these agencies and delegated authority to these agencies, if these agencies make law, it has the authority of Congress. But the retort is not when these agencies pass sweeping, unconstitutional, controversial laws. This also brings up the subject of Democrats furthering their agenda by passing laws that they know are unconstitutional. The mindset is that it becomes a headache for the other side to fight unconstitutional laws passed by the Democrats. But all the while, the left has the opportunity to have unconstitutional laws enforced for a period of time, normalizing those laws until the courts get around to looking at those laws. Again, this way, the public gets used to the laws and the radical base is satisfied. This is the new modus operandi of the Democrats. Do what you want to do, regardless of what the Constitution says. For example, because of COVID, Congress put a temporary moratorium on landlords evicting tenants. The moratorium ended at the beginning of August. But the socialists wanted to keep it going because no rent is a principle of communism. So at the beginning of August, Joe Biden signed an executive order to extend the moratorium on evictions. And at the end of August, the Supreme Court overturned Biden's extension, calling it unconstitutional. But what was telling is what Joe Biden said when he signed the executive order. Quote, "It's not likely to pass constitutional muster, but I'm going to sign it anyway." One editorialist, Charles Cook, remarked, "He did this just to exploit the time it would take before the judicial branch struck it down. Thus did the president, who was elected to restore norms to Washington, D.C., engage in the most egregious act of executive usurpation in decades, perhaps longer. Most modern presidents push the limits of their office, but none have done so quite as brazenly as this." Unquote. So what we're dealing with in these vaccine mandates is a constitutional crisis. Again, this is not the mindset of many people, but it's the big story here. So when it comes to the Christian response to these mandates, it's not simply 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution. We have an official in government who is not obeying the government. I mean, if we were living under the czar system of Russia, that would be a different story. There'd be no question as to who is the governing authority. But here in America, the authority of government is vested in the people through their elected legislators. It is not vested in the president. He is usurping his authority. And Joe Biden's attempt to mandate vaccines is really grounds for his impeachment. And Christians, in being obedient to our government, must oppose his decree. The Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance is calling for mass civil disobedience. Quote, "Do not comply with the mandates. Do not pay the government fines. Don't allow yourselves to be bullied and controlled. Only mass civil disobedience will save us from Joe Biden's naked authoritarianism." So that's the legal aspects of this whole thing. Now the political dimension. Why is Joe Biden pushing for these vaccines? One of the observations made by the media, both on the left and the right, was the extremely angry tone in Biden's speech. He even said in his speech he was angry. Dan Crenshaw, Texas congressman, responded to Joe Biden, "Are you trying to start a full-on revolution? Honestly, what is wrong with the Democrats? Leave people alone. This is insanity. Mandates are cheap governance. The right path is to build upon explaining, educating, and building trust, including explaining the risks, benefits, pros, and cons in an honest way so a person can make their own decision. The Biden administration has completely failed in this regard. Our founders designed a system that treats citizens as more than just children. Our grand experiment is designed for a free people. Yes, that entails risk. And yes, I will take risk and freedom over a paternalistic government any day," unquote Dan Crenshaw. Another point being made is, why all of a sudden do we need a vaccine mandate when COVID is no longer a socially critical disease? Countries such as Denmark's are now removing all COVID restrictions, even requirements to show proof of vaccination. The Delta strain is moving through the South and is already starting to fade. Medical doctors are saying it will peak and then burn out. And an additional point is that Joe Biden himself, last September, was opposed to Americans taking the vaccine. We have Joe Biden on video saying, "When we finally do get the vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Are you going to be the first one to say, sign me up?" And this was all based on his premise that since President Trump lied to the American people, Trump's vaccine can't be trusted. He has put too much pressure on the CDC and the FDA to pass these untried vaccines. We have to watch that piece.
And look at what's happened. The enormous pressure put on the CDC not to put out the detailed guidelines. The enormous pressure being put on the FDA to say they're going to, that the following protocol will in fact reduce, that will have a giant impact on COVID. All these things turn out not to be true. And when a president continues to mislead and lie, when we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You're going to be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. I'm not being facetious.
So Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were originally some of the biggest anti-vaxxers in the country. But all this was political because Donald Trump was behind the vaccine rollout. And whenever President Trump did something, it needed to be depicted as evil. But now that Biden's in the White House, apparently the vaccines can be trusted. Are we supposed to believe and follow these politicians who play these games? That something is a major health risk and unconstitutional when my opponent does it, but it's perfectly fine and good when I do it. So although the rhetoric is about the science and the health, it sure looks like political gamesmanship. And here we have to simply consider political motivation. Not to indict politicians' motives unjustly, but at least to discern what might be going on here. Like when Nero blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome. Common sense tells anyone then or now that the reason given for the conflagration was not based on fact, but on political expediency. Biden and the Democrats have a midterm election coming up, and they campaigned on Donald Trump did not do enough to stop COVID-19. That Donald Trump was responsible for the death of 200,000 Americans because Trump didn't act in time to stop the virus. So the Democrats are now in the dilemma. The COVID virus is not abating during their time in office, but it's expanding. So they're politically desperate to get the virus under control before 2022, even to the point of blaming the unvaccinated and Republican governors for the spread of the virus. They have to blame someone. And in a crisis, they have to look like they're doing something. Furthermore, Biden just came off of a defeat in Afghanistan. And as the old adage goes, beware of the king who returns home after defeat in battle. There are hundreds of historic cases where kings come home from defeat and they take it out on minor domestic issues to show their strength and authority that they lost on the battlefield. You know, it's kind of like the guy who gets humiliated by his boss at work and comes home, kicks the dog, and complains to his wife about her cooking. He's projecting his own insecurity. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going on here, but this is the scuttlebutt that political commentators are talking about, and it should be considered. These mandates have a political motivation dimension, and that always makes for bad, unnecessary policy. Politically, the big picture is that Biden is failing once again. He has failed in immigration. He has failed in Afghanistan. He is failing in the economy. And now he's going to fail at COVID. At the very least, his attempt to mandate vaccines will result in civil disobedience and unrest, and he'll be struck down in the courts, making him look impotent. At the very worst, these vaccines will result in needless death and permanent disability for many Americans. And so history will record Biden's mandate as one of the most heinous government actions against the American people, like the Japanese internment camps in America or the Tuskegee Project. History will record Biden's humiliating defeat in Afghanistan and his failed COVID policy. This is what we read in scripture about the shame that will fall upon ungodly leadership. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21. For the shepherds have become stupid. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered. All of their flock is scattered. The third aspect of these mandates is the medical and the science. Are these vaccines really helpful? Why are people who have had COVID being required to take the vaccine when it's now reported that natural immunities are more effective than the vaccine? We're also hearing reports that these vaccines are failing. They're not giving people 95% immunity as promised, maybe only 50%. The number of breakthrough cases in vaccinated people is growing. I've been doing a lot of research on this. There's no way to cover all this in the YouTube. So let me just give you a quick flyover. Israel is a highly vaccinated country, at least 80% of the population, yet COVID infections are rising. The effectiveness of the vaccines are fading because, like the flu and the common cold, which are COVID-like viruses, the body doesn't create permanent immunity, like in the case of measles or chickenpox or polio. But even still, the natural immunity you get from having had COVID is 5 to 10 times stronger than the vaccine immunity. For a while, the media was putting out the story that the vaccine immunity was better than natural immunity, but that has been proven false. So why do those who have had COVID need to get vaccinated? And why do people who work from home have to get vaccinated? And why do students who are taking online classes, why are they being required to be vaccinated? The mandate is being driven by ideological, political, social control reasons, not strictly medical. An Israeli study is showing that vaccines may put people at higher risk for COVID variants. Quote, Israeli researchers found people who received 2 doses of Pfizer vaccine were 8 times more likely to be infected with the South African variant, and people who received 1 dose of the vaccines were more likely to get the UK variant. So what's going on here? Medical doctors are concerned about ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, where vaccines can have the consequence of mutating and spreading the disease. Like when your doctor tells you to finish all of your antibiotics, because partially killing off the bacteria is worse than not killing it off at all. Because what remains is the strong bacteria that can become antibiotic resistant. One Nobel Prize epidemiologist recently said, quote, "The vaccine program for the coronavirus is an unacceptable mistake. Mass vaccinations are a scientific error as well as a medical error. It is an unacceptable mistake. The history books will show that because it's the vaccinations that are creating the variants." You know, as I've said before, given the hubris of modern man, are looking to science as a savior. I would not be surprised that when all is said and done, that history will look back at this virus and report that we made things worse by our science. So if you want to get more information on this, check out Dr. Peter McCullough, professor of medicine at Texas A&M University of Medicine, and epidemiologist with many titles and publications. He testified before the Texas Health and Human Service Committee on how the emphasis has been exclusively on the vaccine rather than the treatment of the virus. He said that the virus is fully treatable if treated before it gets so bad that patients have to go to the hospitals. But doctors have been telling patients with COVID to go home and not prescribing any medicine. When Dr. McCullough put out a paper about COVID treatment, published in the American Journal of Medicine, he made a YouTube about it, and YouTube took it down. Because the politically correct narrative was that there is no treatment. And if you talk about treatment, you're deceiving people. And this might have something to do with the fact that in order for the vaccine companies to legally get emergency use of their vaccines, there can't be any available treatment. So something is fishy going on in regard to efforts being put toward the vaccine rather than toward the treatment. So that testimony is on YouTube. Then there is Stu Peter's interview with Dr. McCullough on July 23rd and Peter Bregan's interview with the doctor last week, where the doctor is now speaking against the vaccines. I highly recommend that you watch these videos, if you want to be informed. You know, originally Dr. McCullough was supportive of the vaccines because the results seemed to be effective with little side effects. But now with over 13,000 people dying after taking the vaccine and many being permanently disabled in four areas, in the heart, brain, immune system, and blood, he is recommending that people avoid the vaccine. Here are some of the talking points. 13,000 people dying from the vaccine is probably a low number because doctors have to take the time to report this to the CDC, and often it doesn't get reported. And again, it's not just the deaths, but thousands of people are having permanent disability because the vaccine messenger RNA that's injected is remaining in the cells, causing the body to attack itself. People were told that these vaccines were safe and effective, and nobody really asked what were in these vaccines. But now we see the results evolve over time. Dr. McCullough talked about there has been no open committee or press briefing on the safety of these vaccines. We can't ask all Americans to take a vaccine without fair disclosure and safety considerations. Only 25 people died from the swine flu vaccine, and they shut that down. Out of all the vaccines administered in the United States, about 500 million, if there are 150 deaths, the vaccine comes off the market. But now there are 13,000 deaths in this vaccine and not a word. So this is not a matter of more deaths because there's a huge number of vaccines being administered. Other vaccines do not have this mortality rate. Dr. McCullough said that we should have shut down the vaccines back in February when there were only 180 deaths. This will go down in history as the most dangerous biological medical product rolled out in human history. This is the first time anything like this has been tried before. It is not natural for human cells to produce this foreign spike protein, We have never asked a human body to produce a foreign protein this radically new. The mechanism of action is so alarmingly dangerous. And the issue is moral authority. If a doctor or healthcare worker recommends the vaccine and that person dies or gets injured, there is a moral responsibility for the person recommending the vaccine. But what if they get COVID and die? Isn't that a moral responsibility? Well, that's different because the chances of running into COVID is less than 1% and it's treatable. So Dr. McCullough goes on to say, what I would tell people is take the risk getting the natural infection. Now, in all this, you think, well, the FDA has just approved the Pfizer vaccine, so it can't be all that bad. Well, check out this article. Scandal behind the fake FDA approval. The FDA refused to follow the standard procedure of an open advisory committee hearing to get advice from medical professionals on the decision. The FDA broke protocols in approving this vaccine. So let's cut this short. If I get into all the medical issues, it could take hours. The bottom line is, what then do we do in regard to submitting ourselves to kings and all in authority when the state is asking people to do something that is politically, socially motivated, but has the specter of being dangerous to your health? You know, many governments have required stupid and dangerous things of people, like the drug policies in Nazi Germany. And here, since Christians have a duty before God to protect their life and health, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 apply. Whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. We have a right to resist violence done to our body. And if in our conscience and if in the data we find that something is harmful, we must resist by various forms of civil disobedience. But in conclusion, I want to get back to that future government mandate, the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, the mark of the beast seems like a pretty straightforward issue. The Antichrist mandates it. And since it represents identity with the ungodly, evil Antichrist system, the Christian must refuse that mandate. Those who accept that mandate will drink from the wrath of God in full fury. God is not at all pleased with this mandate. But the mark of the beast is not a simple, straightforward moral principle. It is a very deep, difficult ethical moral dilemma. What's wrong with the mark of the beast intrinsically? Doesn't the state have the right to regulate commerce, buying and selling, especially when it's for some social purpose of health and safety? Which we can be sure will be the reason the Antichrist gives for mandating the mark of the beast. Does the state's authority to regulate commerce end when the state is promoting an evil ideology? And when the government authority ends, it's therefore incumbent upon Christians to refuse to obey government. Or would the mark of the beast, a mark to buy or sell, be okay if it was required by a righteous government? Is the crime government regulating what you can buy or sell, or is the crime the fact that an evil government with an evil agenda is making the mandate? And how do you judge when a government has become Antichrist? And does Revelation 13, the prohibition on the mark of the beast, apply to all governments throughout the church age, that no government can mandate buying or selling on the basis of an allegiance to a governmental system? Or does this prohibition only apply when believers are in the apocalypse and see the prophesied Antichrist? If you were living in the Soviet Union, would you join the Communist Party and receive all of the benefits of being a member of the party? No, Christians in the Soviet Union in that day would not take a membership card because it represented supporting the anti-God position of the Communist Manifesto. The Revelation 13 Mark of the Beast has some application throughout the entire church age. So my point is this. The Mark of the Beast is no simple issue. But we do get this lesson in Revelation chapter 13. The Mark of the Beast is telling Christians that there is a point in which Christians have a duty before God to fight the coercive powers of the state. There is a line that the state can cross that requires Christians to practice civil disobedience. There is not the divine right of kings, but as in the Magna Carta, the king must be under the law of nature and nature's God. Otherwise, the king is no longer the king. So may God give us the wisdom to discern the will of God in these matters. And I have confidence that by the Holy Spirit, the church will know the will of God, because that's the promise, that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. But this we do know, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we must obey God rather than men. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for including God and Country as one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Thank you for your support and emails. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.